Good morning, and thank you, and Brother Jonathan, and thank you for your church in Palo inviting me back. And probably many of you know that tomorrow is Lunar Chinese New Year, right? And since we are in the United States, and most of you have to go back to school, so it's a different kind of celebration. And so I dedicate this Sunday's sermon to congratulate you on having more wisdom and understanding. You know, in Chinese is 智慧聪明, right? It's a good word. It's a good word. And so I dedicate the sermon to you know, congratulating you all to have the year of the ox full of wisdom and understanding from God. I want to start out with exploring the meaning of the word wisdom. You know, the word wisdom, even though it's a very much desired word that we human beings all love to have, but somehow wisdom is a little bit different, maybe a lot of different from what you learned in school. Now in school, we learn a lot of information. We absorb a lot of information. Now, are they important? Information that are very important. But somehow we have a feeling, and we also agree that those kind of information is different from what we call wisdom. Now, just because you and I collect a lot of information data, whether from computer, whether from the teacher, whether from the college, whether from the high school or elementary school, it doesn't matter. We can collect a lot of information data. But somehow, we cannot necessarily say that we have a lot of information data, that means that person is a man or a woman of wisdom. Now, let me use a kind of funny example. Now, you go to school, and you learn the words. For example, one word is congratulations. I used that already. Congratulations, right? Now, let me ask you, to have this word, to have this information of the word congratulations, does not necessarily mean that we have gained wisdom. Why? For example, let's say that we attend a funeral service. Do we use that word?
No.
Is that information that you have learned, you have collected? Yes. But somehow, you don't go into a to attend a funeral and then shaking everybody's hand, congratulations, congratulations. It's just not right. Someone who has the knowledge and the information of the word congratulations, and yet, and then we would say, why would someone say something like that? It's kind of dumb and stupid and foolish. Ah, my friend, in the same token, you wouldn't go to a birthday party, to attend a birthday party celebration, and then you use the word, oh, my deep condolence. Even though the phrase, my deep condolence, is somewhat very sophisticated, but that's information. And then you bring that phrase to a happy birthday party, and then shake hands with everybody, my deep condolence. Oh, my friend, now I think already in just a couple of minutes, you and I have a good sense. What we collect, the information from the dictionary, from the school, and The word wisdom and the Bible has a very simple definition. And the wisdom, the word, one of the very obvious definitions is discernment. To be able to discern. While discern is somewhat a sophisticated word, how about we put it into simple English? To be able to tell the difference. You would say, big deal. To be able to tell difference, I can do that. Well, let me just give you another story. I heard a story from in an article, and talking about a middle-aged man in Malaysia. And this man obviously was somewhat physically disabled. So the background of the story is that he was looking for a job, and then lo and behold, and there was a big orchard, and a lot of fruit-bearing trees, a lot of apples, and some kind of fruit there, and the job and his job is to climb up the ladder. Climb up the ladder and to pick all those apples or those fruit from the tree and then put it in the basket. And the owner of the orchard and noticed this middle-aged man, and he realized that he was somewhat physically crippled. And so the owner had a compassion on him. And the owner invited him to his office. He said, I would like to invite you to take another job. Actually, it's some kind of promotion. And so this middle-aged man was very happy. Wow, promotion. And he said, well, I want you to take this job. You no longer need to climb up the ladder outside, and that's too much. I want you to have to come inside the warehouse and then sit down. And then I give you 3 baskets. And here is a whole big, container of the fruit. What you need to do with these 3 baskets is this. You pick the apples, one is for the large, and the one in the middle is for the medium size, and the one here is for the small size. You pick all those fruit and the apples, and you can put them accordingly. So this middle-aged man works for only a short period of time. He came to the owner. He said, "Boss, thank you very much for offering me this job promotion. But honestly, I'd rather go back out and climb up the ladder and shake the tree and take all this apples down." And I guess the point is, he realized to sit there and to sort through and then to decide which apple should go to which basket is too much stress. My friend, I think the story is driving home a point. Wisdom, according to the Bible, is the discernment. It's the ability to be able to discern in life. My friend, it's not as easy. Now let's go back to another point. Human beings, Can human beings, even though we go to school, even though we may be able to go to the best school, even though we can collect a lot of information, we have the most updated information and we learn in school. But can we guarantee ourselves, my friends, that say, well, I have a lot of information, data collected in my brain, but we cannot guarantee and we cannot confidently say, well, I am now a man of wisdom. We cannot. And the reason is, well, wisdom is the ability to discern, to be able to tell the difference. Oh, my friend, look at human life. Look at human life. Even though human beings are very well educated today in comparison to 100 years ago, but do we really have more wisdom, or we simply have more information data collected? That has yet to be seen. Oh, my friend, look at human life. Look at what we pursue in this world. We pursue money. We pursue fame. We pursue recognition. All these things. Maybe some of you young people would laugh at that, saying, oh, I'm not interested in those. But I tell you, one day you will. Because you realize how important these things might be to you. But my friend, Jesus says, if you and I gain the whole world and forfeit our own soul, and then Jesus says, what good is it? Now, my friend, isn't that statement a statement about God's discernment of which is more important? In other words, God is telling us the difference. He is able to tell the difference. He is able to discern which is more important, your soul or money, fame, and recognition. But look at today's world. My friend, even a person with the best advanced degree in best school may not necessarily be able to tell the difference. So that's why a lot of people rather pursue all these worldly things and neglect the soul, neglect his own very important life in the eyes of God, not able to discern, not able to tell the difference. Oh, by the way, a person cannot tell the difference between which is more important, money, fame, recognition, or his own soul. Well, I guess just like the story I mentioned earlier, the guy who was sitting there and trying to sort through just which fruit should I put into the basket that the large apples belong. And this one should fit into the medium. Now this one should be the small one. Cannot tell. My friend, wisdom is very important. In order for you and me as a human being to be able to have true wisdom, you and I must be able to know the value and the worth of human being and all the rest of the things around us. This morning, I encourage you young people, you take a second look of what wisdom is, and then ask yourself honestly, do I have wisdom? Do I have true wisdom as what the Bible says? Or do I have a lot a huge collection of information data. It's a major difference in your life. God today, in the Bible, desires for you and me to have wisdom from Him. To be able to discern, to be able to tell the difference. I'm only a human being. I temporarily live in this world for 80 years, 90, maybe 100, if I'm lucky. The things of the world. I need to have the wisdom from God to tell the difference. What is more important? Is it my own life, my own soul, or the things of the world around me? Second, briefly, I want to talk about understanding. Because understanding, 聪明, is also very important. And today's Bible verse, we also talk about understanding. In this world, many times we do a lot of things with certain, for example, when I was junior high school, when I was in Hong Kong, I spent some time in Hong Kong, I spent some time in Taiwan, I followed my parents' footsteps, so I'm a pretty much a messed up kid. Huh? So sometimes in I remember I was born in Hong Kong, and then when I was 4 years old, my parents moved to Taiwan, so I followed them. So I would speak very good Mandarin. And then when I moved back to Hong Kong, boy, I had a hard time. Because I don't know Cantonese. I have to start in the beginning. And so I took those double decker bus. You know, in Hong Kong, those double decker bus. Man, it was, the conductor, right? The guy who collects the fare. A lot of times they gave me a hard time because I couldn't speak Cantonese. Anyway, why did I say that? That's called a distraction, right? Not to be able to discern. Oh, understanding. I tried to use the example I just gave you to make a connection with my son. Somehow I lost it. So anyway, don't worry about it. I want to spend a couple minutes on the word understanding, my friend, because understanding, 聪明, we all desire to have. Oh, now I made a connection. Sorry. I went to junior high in Hong Kong. And I remember that I was that the class, the physics, the class of physics. Now I remember there were quite a few of the laws there, that the laws of physics I have to learn. And one of them is Boyle's Law. Do you remember Boyle's Law? Okay, good. Okay. And I was a junior high kid, and I learned Boyle's Law. And then when the test comes, I thought I understood it. And so I memorized the Boyle's Law. Word by word, verbatim. So when the test came, half of the point, 50 points is right out of the definition of Boyle's Law. I scored that way. And then the next 50 points is the application. I lost that. You know why? I memorized the Boyle's Law. But I did not fully understand the meaning, and therefore I couldn't apply it. Make sense to you? It's one thing you memorize it. My friend, it's good to memorize the word of the Lord, but it's very important for you to understand. Why is understanding so important? Because, my friend, think about it for a minute. Once you fully understand the meaning of a principle, it will lead you to action. Not only will it lead you to action, it will give you the full confidence going into action. Now, let me give you an example. Let's take a look at the jumbo jet. I don't know about you, but every time I fly a plane, I was sitting here in the passenger seat. Every time it takes off, I always marvel. And maybe just a little bit, since, you know, I'm taking quite a few times, so kind of like getting used to. But still, every time it takes off, I marvel and then a little bit nervous. Because you look at that thing, it's so big. You know, especially if you fly from here to Asia, there's several hundred passengers inside that thing, along with hundred pieces of what? Luggage. Each of them is very heavy. And every time it takes off, I marvel. I'm kind of nervous. Man, how in the world this thing can fly? Ah, my friend. But we know, and you know, flying a plane is very safe nowadays. Some people say safer than driving a car. Once these scientists, they understand the principles of certain laws of physics, they know they can build a plane, and this plane can fly. And no matter how big and how huge this plane is, it can fly because these laws of physics in this universe govern. My friend, once you understand, it's very, very powerful, and it will lead you to action. Having said that, I want to use a Bible teaching to drive that point. In the Bible, Paul says, to live is gain. To live is Christ. To die is what? Is gain. Because in the Bible, you probably have this kind of consensus with me. Wow, so many times the Bible talk about the old self need to die in order for the new life to spring up. You know, sometimes you and I read it and say, wow, this is so hard to understand. Who wants to die in the old self? Well, I one day I was watching TV, and in that TV, and I talk about the top notch athlete. In other words, these are the world record holder athletes. And he said something very important, and I never really made that connection. And then I was, what the Bible says is true. And this guy said, once an athlete reached the point that he or she is able to reach the highest level, in other words, break the world record. Wow, that's amazing accomplishment. Someone can be so good physically and can break the world record. Now he is the world record holder. And then this guy said, he said, once an athlete reaches that level, he said, the greatest enemy he has to overcome is himself. I say it again. Once an athlete is so good, and he could break the world record, and now he or she is the world record holder. Then this guy says, then that world record holder athlete will begin to realize in the Jesus' whole entire world with so many competent athletes competing against one another, he or she realizes, no, these no longer are his competitors. He or she herself is the greatest enemy to overcome. And unless that world record holder will have the determination and the drive and the motivation to say, well, I am the world record holder, but I want to overcome that. I need to go up. I want to overcome that. Well, then he has to overcome his old self. Otherwise, he will never reach high. Every day he wakes up. Do you want to break another world record? Well, overcome yourself. Don't be satisfied with what you have. Go and break the record of your own self. You are the greatest enemy and the greatest barrier and the greatest obstacle for you to go higher. Oh, my friends. And when I heard from that guy talk about that, oh, my friends, all of a sudden, I realized. I was so touched. Because all of a sudden, I realized what the Bible is teaching me. To live is for God, and to die, you will gain. That old self needs to go in order for the new level, new life to come in. You know, the Chinese are very interesting. You know, the Chinese Lunar New Year. What do we do? Getting rid of the old, right? And then welcome what? The new. 除旧, right? And then what? 迎新. Alright? Very interesting. Very interesting. Now even though a lot of Chinese, you know, good old days, you know, they did not know Jesus Christ. But somehow, in a sense, they fear heaven, they fear God, kind of, well, I don't know who you are, but you know, hey, you know. And somehow, look at that. I mean, think about it. The Chinese said, oh, well, the new year is coming. Let's welcome the new year. Wait a minute. Let's get rid of the old first, can we? Now, if it's true in your own house, in your home, why not in the spiritual world? Man, every time I see someone is doing better than me, I'm jealous. I cannot learn to rejoice with the other person. Well, God said, my dear child, you know what? That part needs to go. That part has to go in order for a new life of God to be able to rejoice with those who are well. I said, now nothing is easy. Letting go of the old. But just like the top world record holder ever, do you want to go higher? Do you want to grow in Christ? Do you want to grow spiritually? Let him go. If the athlete in this world understands this principle, shouldn't we, the children of the Most High God, shouldn't we understand? That's what the Bible has been telling us all along. The sinful nature is to go. And that God's holy life is there. in my own church, my wife always said, you preach too long today. Okay, so I need to, my wife is not here, so I need to remind myself. So how can we have the wisdom and understanding from God? A few things to take note as I conclude the sermon. Number one, the Bible says, fear of the Lord. Now the word fear here is not a word that we talk about phobia, because phobia is kind of, I have water phobia, or I have, height phobia. I'm afraid of going up to the height, the very, very, skyscraper, and I'm scared. But that is not exactly what I'm trying to show you here, because in Chinese, you know the word, the fear of the Lord is what? 敬畏. Now take a look at the word 敬畏. 敬畏 is kind of like, well, I have some certain sense of fear and awe, but at the same time, what? Respect. Am I right? Well, it's almost like you have the privilege to go to see, let's say, Governor Corba. Whether you like him personally or not, that's a different issue. But let's say Governor Corba said, you are such a bright, smart student. I want to see you in my office. Now you go there, and to meet him, what is an honor? You kind of have fear. Not the kind of fear of afraid jumping from the height or something. It's rather, you fear, but you respect. You respect him, but at the same time, say, wow, well, I like to use the word, take it seriously. Don't take it lightly. Take it seriously. Now let me use a few things you could relate every day. Like, think about water. Think about fire. Think about electricity. These items, don't you think we should have proper fear? Right? You kind of, whoa. Wow, you jump into the ocean. You just say, I'm a good swimmer. Wow, you have certain kind of fear. Fire, especially kids. You need to have fear. You need to respect fire, but at the same time you fear. But doesn't mean that you run away, never use fire, but you need to have a proper respect for that. Take it seriously, please, kids. And so is electricity. Water, fire, electricity. You and I need it every day. Even though we fear, but doesn't mean that we never use it. We use it, but proper respect for that. My friend, the Bible says, fear God. God, wonder, wow, man. That's why the psalmist says, awesome God. Wow, you're awesome. I need to come to you, wow, with a sense of awe and fear. But at the same time, wow, respect. In other words, take God seriously. In other words, the Bible says, if you and I would take God seriously, the Bible said, well, good news. That is the beginning of wisdom. You know the word beginning? One English translation used the word foundation. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. In other words, all other wisdom in this world, if they are true wisdom coming from God, you know what? If you honor God, if you take God seriously, and the Bible says that God will give you wisdom and the foundation of wisdom. It's a foundation. Power. My friend, do you take God seriously? If you and I would take the water, take the fire, take the electricity with proper respect and fear, shouldn't we take God even more seriously? do with your and my heart attitude. Our heart attitude toward God should be fear of the Lord. In other words, the Bible says, take God seriously. We should take God more seriously than we take water, fire, and electricity. Take God seriously. And once our heart is taking God seriously, and the next step, God says, He will give you wisdom. Notice here, wisdom and understanding come from God. You know the word philosophy. You know the word philosophy is an interesting word. Actually, it's a word of two words. Philo, right? Sophie, right? Philo is what? Philo is what? Love, right? Right, love. And Sophia, what is Sophia?
Wisdom.
Ah, wisdom. Philosophy means what? Love or what? Wisdom. But my friend, I want to let you know. Philosophy. Look at how many philosophers in this world trying to, in other words, philosophy means love of wisdom. Philosopher, it should be lover of wisdom. But my friend, take a note of this Bible verse. It tells us all true wisdom comes from God. All true understanding comes from God. And yet, in this world, look at how many philosophers, they don't even find God. Even though they love wisdom. But they never find God. And that's why philosophers never have real answers. You know that? Philosophers are people who are very good at asking questions, but never have answers. They never find God. They never have answers. All who follow God's precepts, God's command. My friend, have you noticed that once you have a genuine fear of certain things, you take certain things very seriously, you begin to follow its instruction. For example, you go to a department store, you purchase a MP3 player or whatever, right? And you bring home. And if you take this electronic device very seriously, what would you do? You will read instructions and follow instructions. In the same way, once you and I take God seriously, the next step, if I take God seriously, I need to follow God's instruction. Another point. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and all who follow His precepts have good understanding. Did you see the sequence? First, you and I need to have a proper respect for God, take God seriously, and then follow His instructions. Then, the Bible says, God will grant you wisdom and understanding. Now there's a sequence. First is you and I take God seriously and then follow His instruction. And then the Bible says, God will give you wisdom and understanding. But today, how the world are looking for God is the opposite. God, I'm going to use my own wisdom and my own understanding, trying to figure out whether you exist or not, and who you are, and what you are. Now, once I use my own wisdom and understanding to know you better, then I will take you seriously. Then I will follow instruction. People who have this kind of attitude we have a hard time to have true wisdom and understanding from God. Look at the Bible verse here, my friends. Take a look at it. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. You fear God first, then God says, I give you wisdom. And you will have the foundation of wisdom. And then you follow His command. And then you will have good understanding. Which one comes first? A respect for God. And a willingness to follow His instruction. And then what follows is that God will give you wisdom. I pray today, God opens my heart, and God opens your heart. And don't follow what this world is telling you. Well, I am a smart person. I am a wise person. I am a man of understanding. I will use my own wisdom and understanding to figure out God first, before I will even honor Him, before I will take Him seriously and follow His instructions. Don't follow that. You would never find God. And rather say, God, I come before you. I recognize I lack wisdom. Just like the book of James, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask. Oh God, I lack wisdom. I lack understanding. I don't know how to discern in life. But I come here this morning. I want to take you seriously. And from today, I will want to follow your command. My friend, if you have this attitude before God, God will honor you. And God will grant you His wisdom and His understanding that the world can never give you. And the school can never give you. Finally, to Him belongs eternal. I want to draw 1 minute with the word eternal. The Bible says this is the eternal God. This is not just a God who lives 100 years old. It's an eternal God. God is eternal. Now what does that mean? What does that have anything to do with wisdom and understanding? Yes, it does. Then he invites you to think about the wisdom and understanding. Who is the person who can understanding? Who can understand the best in this world? The one who can see the fathers. The longer you can see, the farther you can see, the better view you can have. Eternal. In other words, God is eternal. God who was in the past, who is in the present, and who will be in the future. For God is eternal. In the past, long, long ago, God said, I was there. And right now, where are you, God? God said, I am here. Oh, 1,000 years from now, where would you be, God? God said, I will be there. I am eternal God. So who can see, understand the best in this world? God. I noticed that, I came from Hong Kong and there was one movie star in Hong Kong. He invests over 10 million Hong Kong dollars, but still a lot of money. More than $10 million in Lehman Brothers. You know Lehman Brothers, the stock. Hey my friend, Lehman Brothers 5 years ago was very powerful, am I right?
Yeah.
Very, very powerful. Nobody would think Lehman Brothers was like this. And so he and his daughter, with his daughter's advice, he invests more than $10 million in Lehman Brothers. My retirement is very secure. And then basically he lost a lot. You know what that? It has a lot to do with not being able to see even 1 year from now. God is eternal. His wisdom, His understanding can travel beyond the past, present, and future. He can see, he can have the best first eye view of all things and of all people in this world. He cannot be wrong. So when he says, he gives you wisdom and understanding, my friend, God really means business. He cannot be wrong. The stock market, all these experts can give you the wrong information because they cannot see the future. But God can see that. I thank you this morning. I can be here to share the word of the Lord. But I encourage you to take God seriously and to have a heart to follow His commands. And God said, I will grant you the wisdom and your life with the foundation of God's wisdom and understanding. It will never go wrong because God is eternal. His word will never, never go wrong. Father God, we thank you today. We humble ourselves before you because you are God. We are humble human beings. Whatever we say, whatever we think, whatever we do, and many times, even whatever we decide in the morning and during the evening, it changes. That's how much we can see, how much we can predict. We are humble human beings. It is time for us to come back to God. It is time that we ought to have a proper respect and fear of you. And then we ought to take you seriously. And we ought to take your word seriously. And we ought to have a humble heart to want to follow your command. And you promise us, you will grant us wisdom. And in our life, you will give us the foundation of wisdom and a good understanding. And you are eternal God. And your word, your promise, will never go in vain. That's why in the book of Hebrews, Jesus is saying yesterday, today, and forever, oh Lord, you can never go wrong. Because you are in control of yesterday, today, and forever. Before the creation of the world, you already there. You know all the lust and boast, everything. You cannot go wrong. It is time for us to humble ourselves and to take you seriously and to take your word seriously and to bow down before you and to follow your instruction. Thank you, Lord. You bless everyone and bless the church and all the leaders, pastors. Bless you. In Jesus' name.